College basketball writer John Rothstein uses the term epitome of brutality to describe certain games in the college basketball season. There is no better term than the epitome of brutality to describe what happened to Boston College on Saturday against Wake Forest. We're going to jump all into this gigantic mess on today's Locked On Boston College.
You are Locked On Boston College, your daily podcast on the Boston College Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Locked On Boston College, AJ Black here. Today's episode is brought to you by NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for special end-of-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. All right, folks. Boston College ends their season at 6-6. It was a ugly game on Saturday at Chestnut Hill. I was in attendance. I was in the press box watching as Boston College loses the season finale, the regular season finale, to Wake Forest 41-10. A game that at times was a little close, but overall it was just a gigantic hot mess on both sides of the ball. First of all, Wake Forest comes in. They had the fourth ranked offense in the entire country. They were able to move the ball efficiently against any team that they played against that was not coached by Brent Venables. And they put up 70 points against Army. They put up 40 points against NC State. You knew they were going to be tough. Well, they were tough. And they scored 41 points basically in three quarters against BC, because the fourth quarter was just basically the Demon Deacons just running the ball to kill the clock and getting out of there with the ACC championship or ACC title opportunity. Boston College just could not get out of their own way. Now, heading into this game, you're going to have some context, right? There were two major factors, I thought, going into this game that could be a big reason why Boston College was going to be majorly an underdog heading into this. One was the flu. The second was Phil Jakovic's wrist. Okay, so first of all, let's dive into these things. And I'm not making excuses. Before you say that I'm making excuses about this, I am not. There's reasons I will get into why these things were part of it, but also there was bigger things that happened that were also part of the reasons why BC got blown out. First of all, the flu. It was confirmed on Saturday, 35 players on Boston College's roster missed time on this week due to the flu. After the game, Halfley acknowledged that they missed practice on Wednesday and Thursday and that Phil Jakovic had the flu. Almost the entire offensive line, I believe, had the flu. There was a starter that had the flu. Now, you may say, I got people tweeting me saying, oh, just take some Theraflu and some DayQuil and you'll get better. Okay, great. So I've had the flu before and it knocked me on my butt. And I was able to get back together and do some things in 2 days. But you know what I do? I work in front of a computer all day. I still struggled through that. I'm not chasing Sam Hartman across the field. I am not trying to dodge a 300-pound defensive tackle. It's a little different. I don't think, I'm a runner. I've done running in my life. I was a marathon runner for a while. I did two marathons in my life. I've done a whole bunch of half marathons. If I had the flu that week of any of those, I know I couldn't have done it. So I'm not giving them an excuse, but I'm telling you, when you get if it's literally the flu, which is what they were saying, that could definitely take you down a notch. So that was one thing that popped up. The second thing was Phil Dracovic's wrist. Now, it's mind-boggling to see a few things about his wrist. First of all, Halfley earlier this week said that when he came back, his wrist was about 50%, which makes sense. When we watched the Virginia Tech game, he could barely throw the ball. Then you saw Georgia Tech, and he looked like a little different. He was able to pass it. He was able to run it. He did some things. And against Florida State, he was up and down, but mostly down in that game. Well, we saw mostly, if not all down, on Dracovic in this game. He just did not look right. He could not get, he was sick, first of all. Second of all, his wrist didn't look all that great. So he's playing behind the ball. Third of all, and this is the one the fans want to get on the most, was the play calling. I don't understand anything that was going on that offensive side of the ball. It just seemed like they were setting themselves up to fail this game. And all you need to know for a statistic was what I put up on BC Bulletin earlier today, and that was the range of what they were throwing. First of all, Djurkovic only threw one pass between 5 and 14 yards. Everything else was a bomb. Or there was like maybe two that were short. He did not do anything intermediate. If you're watching this game on TV, you just saw Djurkovic go back and go, YOLO, throwing it deep. And that never, and it was not working. He got picked off twice. Zay was covered on those plays. And it was just, it was a terrible scheme to call. And I don't know if that was on Djokovic from not reading anything that was underneath, if they were covered underneath, or if this was on Cignetti. It seemed like it could be a combination of all of that. I mean, watching, when I was watching it, there were definitely some guys underneath that were covered. That was just, that's just being truthful right there. But you got to figure some stuff out, man. Like, if your offensive game plan is to go with a guy that has a wrist that is completely still on the mend, he's not 100%. He can barely grip the football. It was cold. I mean, I could see my breath when I left for the game. So you know that that's going to make his wrist a little bit worse. And your game plan is to toss it deep every time. That's just, I don't know. They should have tried something else. And they did at different points. It was just not working. So they almost went back to the Georgia Tech game plan, where they did a lot of read option kind of stuff with Djurkovic, and it was working. He got hit quite a few times. You know, there were some things there. But, you know, I was not a big fan of this offensive game plan. I am not, though, in the camp, and we'll talk about this later, of firing Frank Cignetti yet. You cannot make a compelling case to me that he needs to go. You can say that you want him to go, but I still don't think it's the right move to make. And that's where I'm going to stay with that. So you look at this game, you look at the offense, the second half. I mean, the game was only, I think it was like a 10 or 14 point game going into halftime. BC gets the ball back. They go into the second half, and the play of the game happens in the second half. And I hate to rip on the refs, but it was an absolute crap call. So they do an end around with Zay. You know, everyone's complaining that they're not getting Zay the ball. They do it here. They do it in a way to let him do something. And Phil Djurkovic absolutely destroyed the Wake Forest defender, like on a block. Like, so Zay's coming around. Phil has to just set the block to make sure that guy doesn't get him. And instead of just, like, you know, the usual quarterback where they just kind of, you know, rub off on him and then the guy slows down enough so the other guy can go, Phil just levels him, gets called for a blindside block. The Wake defender was aiming at Zay Flowers, who was right behind Djurkovic. So it was not a blindside block. And it negated an 80-yard touchdown run. That was the game right there. Everything after that, just all tailspinned after that. But that was the game right there. They had it, at least, you know, the ability to get back into it. And it could have changed the whole complexion of the game. But, of course, one thing goes off and everything falls apart. So we'll get into some of the other nitty-gritties of this game. And later on, we're going to talk about Jeff Caffley and his comments on the coaching carousel. Those are something you're not going to want to miss. All right, college football fans. Have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and I know you will too. Prize Picks is a leader in college sports daily fantasy. They offer more college football props than anyone in the world. And there's all the star players of the Power 5, as well as mid-major players you might not even have heard of. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yards to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. I'm telling you, this weekend I went in, and you can make any pick you want, but you could go with, like, for Sunday Night Football, you could have went with Lamar Jackson for touchdown passes and Nick Chubb for yards run, and you can just have a good time watching it. And it's so easy to play, super easy to learn, and a lot of challenge, but you win money, and it's always fun. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's just that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Again, just head on over to prizepicks.com and use that promo code LOCKEDON. They're going to give you a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Easy win right there, right? So head on over to prizepicks.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. This is Locked On Boston College. AJ Black here. We are dissecting the lifeless corpse of this game that was on Saturday, a game which Boston College lost 41-10. Usually we're joined by Mitch Wolf, but Mitch is under the weather today, so he was not able to join us. And I love having him on. I know you guys do too. So hopefully we'll get to talk to him for bowl season and all sorts of goodies coming up. And if he's better, he'll talk to us tomorrow about Steve Adazio getting ejected for could be his final game in Colorado State. But this game was, there was nothing positive to take out of this because everything looked bad. The defense, you know, we talked about the offense in the first half of the show. The defense itself was a mess. And, you know, you lost Josh DeBerry. He wasn't out there, but was he that big of a difference? Would he have made the difference that they needed there on defense? No, he wouldn't have, because there was major issues going on all over the place. They couldn't get to Sam Hartman consistently. And for the folks that were saying they needed to blitz more, BC was blitzing. They just weren't getting to him because Wake Forest's offensive line was holding up. I saw linebackers flying in, corners, safeties. BC tried some stuff. They just couldn't get in to Sam Hartman. And Hartman is a heck of a player. I mean, 6'1", 200. He moved like Phil Dracovic. Like, he was a big physical running back that could just move the ball with his legs if he needed to. And he did it quite a bit for Wake Forest. So, you know, he was a challenge in itself. And Boston College had no answer to him. He ran, you know, some really good situational football as well. I mean, Wake Forest, they're going to the ACC title game. They're a good coach team that does a lot of things right. And you saw that on Saturday. For instance, Wake Forest gets the ball right before halftime. And they systematically just march down the field, chewing up clock. They get a touchdown, I think, with like 20 seconds remaining. And it was just how you draw up a two-minute drill. And they did it perfectly. So they're a good team. They're a good team that's coached well. And they took advantage of a Boston College team that looked flat, that was playing, you know, probably sick. They just were not on their game. And the defense, I thought, played pretty poor. You know, Brandon Sebastian had that good interception in the end zone. We saw Marcus Valdez make a nice play. I thought Clinton Burton Jr. showed some flashes. I think he's going to be a guy you're going to want to watch. But what was interesting after the game on Sunday, during his Sunday press conference, Jeff Hafley talked about he didn't do a good enough job, he said, getting the young guys up to speed and ready to play. So I thought that was an interesting comment, like, you know, that Boston College, a team that brought in, I think, like 25 new freshmen, that Hafley felt like he didn't prepare them enough. So in our final segment, we'll talk a little bit about what he, you know, what his role is and where he's at. But, you know, in this game, they didn't have the guys to fill in. They didn't have the guy to fill in at cornerback. Like, Burton was there. He made some plays. But, man, when you're playing against Wake Forest, you can't be playing true freshmen out there. You got to get guys out there that are ready. And so losing Josh DeBerry and not having guys ready to do that was challenging. The defense just was bad. I mean, they made some stops here and there. They stopped two of the first three drives with punts. But overall, like, after that, I think they scored on Wake Forest scored on six of their last nine drives. One of them was that interception. Another one was the end of the game. So, not a good game. Going back to the offense, though, if we're going to just start diving into everything that wasn't working, because there was quite a few things that were not working in this game. Man, the offensive line. We got to talk about the offensive line here for a moment, because this game was the epitome of what was wrong with BC's offensive line. I don't know what the answer is here, folks. Like, the offensive line, for the second straight year, comes in with all these accolades. Like, you got Zion Johnson, Alec Lindstrom, Tyler Vrabel, you know, and some young guys coming in that are exciting to play. They come in, they play, some, you know, and they're average at best in most of these games. In other games, they're not playing well. This would be one of those games. And again, I don't know if it's the flu, and I don't want to give them that, like, a cop out here, because games where they didn't have the flu, they still were struggling. But they were not good in pass protection in this game again. And there's some major issues. I don't know what's going on with this offensive line. Is it a scheme thing? Is, like, Matt Applebaum's blocking scheme or Cignetti's blocking scheme the reason that they're just struggling to block? Maybe, you know, you got five guys on that offensive line. All of them are Steve Adazio recruits. They're more into his speed. Are they just not picking up their scheme? Or is it that Applebaum's scheme is just bad? I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. But the offensive line, for five guys, and I still believe that many of them will be playing in the NFL. I think Zion Johnson will be a first or second round pick. But to see that kind of play, where you made Wake Forest's front seven, look like Clemson, was inexcusable. I don't know. Inexcusable, excuse me. I don't know what was going on there, but that is a major, major problem. And, you know, you look at Pro Football Focus rankings every week and they're getting graded like 56, 60 the last couple of weeks. You don't want to trash these kids, but it was just so disappointing because you saw Wake Forest going into this game as one of the weakest defenses in the country. They were like 93rd in the country. They let up what, like 60 points to Army? Like, do you expect that Boston College to be able to move the ball? And you expected that to Phil Jakovic to stay clean, and it didn't happen. He got clobbered over and over again, and it was on that offensive line. So I don't know what's going on with that group. It's a major problem, and whether it means that they have to move on from Applebaum, whether they need to change the scheme, they got to figure something out because the offensive line, when you have five guys that have probably combined for like 300 starts or something crazy, playing the way that they did, it's just, you're not going to win games, and it's sad because that, for the last two seasons, should have been the strength of this team, and it was not. It was not, as much as they want to say, and you know that it was good, it was not good. There were games where they had flashes, but it was not consistent, and when they were bad, they were really bad. And so they need to figure that out for next season. I don't know what the answer is, if it's new guys, new coach, combination of both, but we'll have to wait and see when half of these guys get in, because next year, Zion Johnson's gone, Alec Lindstrom's gone, Ben Petrula's gone. You have only two guys remaining. You're going to be bringing in Drew Kendall, Jack Conley, and probably like Kevin Klein or something like that as your other tackle. You're going to have some new guys in there that are Halfley guys. So maybe those are the guys that are going to play better. But I don't know. We'll have to see what Halfley does this offseason to address this issue, because you can't let Jakovic holds onto the ball too long in general, and he needs to get rid of it quicker. But the offensive line didn't do him favors either, and that was just my gripe. So in our final segment, I want to talk about Jeff Halfley. I want to talk about this coaching carousel discussion and give you my thoughts on where Boston College stands there, and if Boston College fans should be worried, or is it just hoopla? So this is it. The putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you want to run your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated financial software. To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can opt to automate your processes and close your books in no time, staying ahead of your competition. With 93% of surveyed businesses increasing their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 27,000 businesses already use NetSuite, and right now, through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Again, head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for a special end-of-year financing on the number one financial system for growing business. Again, that's netsuite.com/NCAA. It's that time of the year. It's the best Monday of the year. It's Cyber Monday. And Built.com is the place to aim your mouse. Get at least 20% off everything delicious and healthy. That's 20% off site-wide. And even bigger discounts on Built Boost, Broth, and Built Swag. A brand new Built Bar flavor has landed just in time for Cyber Monday. And it's my wife's favorite. She tried this out last week. The Caramel Almond Delight. And it delivers everything it promised. Caramelized chocolate, check. Almonds, check. Delightful double check. Be sure to get yours before they're gone because it's only 150 calories and 17 grams of protein. And this season, maybe you're craving white chocolate. For a limited time, get a special new Built Bar Puffs flavor, white chocolate cheesecake. This yummy protein-filled treat with marshmallow center covered in white chocolate. I just had this before I recorded. I was hungry. I had a pretty light dinner. This really hit the spot because I was starving and it was delicious. Only 140 calories and 17 grams of protein. Tis the season to save and to get your taste buds the gift of Built Bar. Go to Built.com for these incredible tasting new bars and 20% off everything. Head to Built.com and enter LOCK20 before it's too late. This is Locked On Boston College, AJ Black. Thank you all for listening. This is the end of the regular season. I can't believe Boston College football
it's over. That's the one thing about college football that floors me, just how quickly the time flies. It feels like we were just kicking off against Colgate 2 weeks ago, but, you know, 12 weeks, 13 weeks, and we're over, and we're heading into bowl season. We'll have to see. We'll talk about that on tomorrow's show. Where the bowls are going to play out and where we think Boston College could go, and there's a couple of options, and we'll talk about all of that. And before we do that, we're going to talk today. I'm going to wax a little poetic about Jeff Hafley, because over the weekend, there were some rumors starting to buzz around about Jeff Hafley possibly heading to another school, or, you know, there was, you know, interest in him from another program. And credit to Jeff Hafley, because he got out in front of that very quickly, discussing it in his press conference on Sunday. Now, when he was asked by reporters to address it, he thanked the press for waiting to the end of the season. But he said, and here's his quote, "I didn't come here just to be here for a short period of time and leave. I believe in Boston College, and I believe that if we build it the right way, in time, we can win here consistently. I knew it would be hard when I got here, and there are certain things, obviously, I need to do better. But I do not plan on leaving. I plan on being here for a long time. I plan on building it the right way, with good people. I plan on developing players. I plan on winning here." So that was Hafley's discussion. Now, if you were curious of what the rumors were, footballscoop.com, who's been, you know, pretty good at certain times, they had him rumored as one of the finalists for the Washington Huskies job. I haven't heard anything else about that, and I know Washington is going to be announcing their coaching job on Monday, so unless something weird happens, it won't be Hafley. I'm hearing Kalen DeBoer of Fresno State, or possibly Brian Harrison of Auburn, though I think there's some vaccination issues there, and I know the Washington State had that issue. So I don't think it'll be him. Maybe it's going to be the Fresno State guy. But what really is Hafley in terms of the coaching carousel right now? Is he attractive? Is he someone schools are going to look at? Now, first of all, you have to realize the coaching carousel is crazy this year, because a lot of the top names that you expected to go have signed on to lucrative big deals to stay with their school. James Franklin, Mel Tucker, they took huge deals to stay where they're at, removing them from possibly the USC and Florida's Florida job. So those were big ones to keep that were taken off the board. So you used to see them starting to go down the list a little bit more. Now, Florida, they just hired Billy Napier from the University of Louisiana, and USC just hired Lincoln Riley, which was crazy. But so Oklahoma will have an opening, but they're not going to go for a guy like Hafley. So you could see some programs that could be interested in him, because, you know, the top name programs are going to top name recruits or coaching candidates are gone. But he's now 12-11. He hasn't won a big game. He really hasn't done anything that should open eyes. Now, as a fan, you're like, oh, he's 12-11. Who's going to hire him? Of course, a school like Florida, a school like LSU, USC, Oklahoma, they're not going to hire Jeff Hafley yet. That would be insane. Their coaches, their fan base would kill them, because Hafley hasn't done anything. Those programs demand, you know, the top of the crop, and he's not there yet. And that's fair to say, right? He's not there yet. But a school like Washington, could they look at a Jeff Hafley and go, okay, he hasn't won yet, but we see a guy that's going to build something here at our school that could, in fact, you know, do something for us and just take a little bit more time. Maybe he's not there yet, but we're a school that's, you know, we're not a blue blood. We want a guy like him because we can see the future with him. I could definitely see that. Now, I also know I could definitely not see Jeff Hafley having any interest in a school like Washington, because he's got two young kids. He's got a family. He just moved here. And, you know, coaches speak certain ways, so I think he's sincere when he says he wants to stay at Boston College. But I think he's also hedging a lot of his words. Like, you can read this a whole bunch of different ways and say, you know, I don't plan to leave here. I don't plan to leave here. He says that a bunch of times. That is a little worrisome, because that to me sounds like, okay, I'm not planning on it now, but what if the biggest job that I would love just falls in my lap? What if, I don't know, you know, Jim Harbaugh heads off to the NFL and Michigan offers him the job? Would he plan on leaving there? Probably. So you know, a lot of fans were like, oh, you know, wipe my hands. Jeff Hafley's staying at Boston College. I didn't read it this way. I do think he's being sincere, but he's also giving himself the wiggle room and the words to say, like, oh, I wasn't planning on it. Here's what could happen. And I don't think I really don't think it says what people think it says. Like, I think he's saying that he does plan on returning to Boston College, but maybe just the right job hasn't jumped out at him right now. So, you know, he's being sincere, but he's also being very careful with the words that he uses. And that's fair. You know, he's a coach and that's what he's going to do. And so to kind of conclude, I mean, I know I see fans like, man, I saw people saying we should fire Jeff Hafley, that we've got a loser. He's a Dazio. He's, you know, he's a coach that's coached 20 games. He is what he is right now. But you got to give him a little bit of a break here. Right. I'm not saying he's not perfect. He's made mistakes, but he is a young coach that's coached 20 games. We remember this happened. This is why we hired him. We knew that he would be a young coach and he'd be learning on the fly. He's not Bill O'Brien. He is not, you know, Tom Herman, a coach that's done this for years. And that when you bring him in, you know what you're getting. He's a coach that is figuring things out and he's going to take a little while. I mean, I said it on Twitter. I said it on our private Discord. You know, Dave Clawson, I asked someone who was saying, oh, who's going to hire a 6-6 coach? I said, Dave Clawson, what do you guys think of him? Oh, love Dave Clawson. He's a great coach. Got Wake Forest going all over the place, right? Dave Clawson, his first 2 years, lost. He had two losing seasons. Then he won 6 games. And then it took him 4 years to win 4 games. Now, he was a head coach for a while before. So you got to expect that Halfway's got to get his guys in. He's got to get his players in. He's playing with a defensive line of transfers and Steve Addazio guys. He's got to get a chance to get his guys, the guys that fit his mold in there. And then you're going to probably see it. Now, that's not discounting that this year stunk. It was bad. It was disappointing. He did not do well. I will grade him later and I will not be overly kind. But I'm not on the board of throw him out. He stinks. He's Addazio. Guys, take a breath. Take a breath here. You got to give him some time. We got to see what he can do with a fully healthy Djurkovic, with more of his guys in the system, with more of his depth. And then we'll see, and more experience as well. And I think we'll get a better gauge on that. But I do think I understand why other teams are interested, or other programs could be interested in him. He's an attractive coach that I think has a very, very high future, and I still think he does. And we'll have to see where that goes. Maybe he does flame out, but I don't think it's there yet. This is AJ Black. On tomorrow's show, we'll start talking bowl games because in a week, we're going to find out where Boston College is playing. Could it be in Fenway? Could it be in the Mid-Atlantic? We'll find out. Thank you all for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBC. You can follow me on Twitter at AJBlack_BC. You can yell at me all you want on Twitter. Love to get a lot of that. I'm the editor and publisher of BCBulletin.com. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and check that page out. And if you like to talk to other BC fans, check out our message board, Maroon and Gold Forums. Everyone, a lot of listeners of our podcast are on there yelling at each other about Boston College. Now they're playing with each other and talking to each other about BC sports. It's a great place to connect with other BC fans. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all again soon. Take care, everyone.